afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. Around the table today, we have a very ill young Kyle Dotson. Can barely talk. Kyle, let's hear what the pipes sound like. Just say something. Say good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, that's...
it sounds like you've been crying.
I know. Oh, don't cry. He's crying because he can't talk. You're like a little Muppet. Like a little Muppet. Some little, like, little cute Muppet, like an Elmo. Elmo's got a new friend. And of course, that was April Richardson. You know her voice. How are you doing, April?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. This was probably a mistake to record today because last night was my... Even though this episode does not post till April.
Right, but it was... You had your rager last night.
I had my 50-year-old raging party last night, so...
It was pretty great.
Thank you.
Let me tell you this. I don't know if the listeners know. You got a real hot wife.
Thank you.
Good job on locking that down.
Thank you. A lot of my friends would say, how did I lock that down? And I would say,
I'm not one of those people.
I say, you got to not be afraid to approach some ladies. You got to go
right.
You got to go up and you got to say, hey, ladies.
And then plural, just say it to many ladies. And then whoever says yes.
And then whoever steps forward.
Right, exactly.
What happened was,
as a line, as like a firing squad,
all the other ladies stepped back.
Sure.
And Pilar wasn't paying attention.
Right. Okay.
So, but
so
thank
she,
you.
Then she was legally your wife after that.
That's right. That's how it goes. That's nice to hear because she thinks that you are just a knockout.
Oh, wow. Well.
So I don't know what you two have going. But
we'll talk later.
She's like, oh, that April, she's so tall and pretty and she can wear any clothes and oh, she's the best.
Wow.
She's like, oh, I wish I could wear those high-waisted pants.
She can.
Well, but it would come up to her boobs.
Oh, so... This is where me being a giant comes in handy. Is that what's up? Cool.
Models are tall.
Okay.
Right?
That's the only requirement to be a model is
you're
to
not,
be tall. That's
you're
it.
You're not a giant. How tall are you? 5'9".
5'10".
You're a giant. It's so tall. I thought you were like 5'9". That's not giant.
It's gross. I know.
Giant. But yeah, so that's what was going on last night. Kyle actually.
And Kyle was screaming and partying so hard he lost his voice.
Smoking out.
Raving.
He was crazy. He was in the pool naked with Murray. They were doing blow.
In the pool.
In the pool.
It seems weird and inconvenient, yep. But they figured out how to do it.
They had blow like around an inner tube and they were just snorting. Yeah. Is that how you snort? Sounds like I'm snoring. They were snoring cocaine.
We both actually mutually discovered that we have never done drugs or anything
last
night.
High.
Which
no.
I don't know how and that happened.
And you've never drank alcohol.
I've never had alcohol. Yeah.
See, I'll drink alcohol at when it's an occasion. But
sure.
Even I go to a concert's not even an occasion for me to have a mixed drink. It's
honestly,
not.
That fascinates me when I go to shows and there's like a bunch of drunk people because I'm like, you paid to see these people. Like, don't you want to remember it and fully experience it?
I saw you two on the last tour in when they were at the Rose Bowl.
Uh-huh.
So like, you know, 90,000 people. It's a gigantic event. You know, we had to get there early to park because, you know, there's so many people there. I mean,
right.
So as we're walking in, security is removing someone who's blasted out of his mind. I'm like, dude, you planned this whole event. You bought these expensive tickets. You got yourself here.
And you're already getting kicked out like this early in the game.
You're not even going to see any of it.
Yes, I fully agree with you.
It makes zero sense whatsoever. I just don't get it.
I mean, I get it. That especially I don't get because of the expense and the effort to go to this thing. I know that they're fair. I know there are people, they fascinate me. I also don't get them, but people who just go, oh, there's a show. Let's just go to a show. Like, they don't know who the band is.
Right.
They don't really care. It's like the event is just going to a concert.
Let's be out and about and party.
Right. Which also, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But I guess in this context, like, okay, then get drunk at that because you don't care about the song. You don't know who this person is.
Yeah, I mean,
that kind of stuff does fascinate me. Same when I do comedy, people who just go to a comedy club having zero knowledge of the people that are going to be there. It's just the event is going to the club. And then they're like, whoever it is, we don't care. That's so weird. Like, why would you pay money to see somebody you don't even know who they are?
So you're saying they don't even know who the headliner is.
Right.
Either.
Yeah. It's just a case of like, it's a date night. So we'll just go to
a comedy
club.
I think that's more acceptable for me though, than to just go to a concert.
I feel like some people have the same attitude with concerts, though.
They probably do.
I've heard this band name. Let's just go see. This will be a fun thing to go to a concert for the sake of it. And that's so weird to me.
Yeah, I'll have to become acquainted with a band through, you know, records and music, and then go, oh, I bet these guys are good live.
Right.
Now, if you become acquainted with a comedian through a record, then you probably know their act when you go.
Well, to me, I see it as the same as like I've gotten into new people because of like opening acts and stuff. I've totally gone to see a band I already love, and then the opening act's great. So I'm like, I'll buy the record.
That's
the same with comedy, I think, for me, especially before I started doing it and I saw it all the time.
Yeah.
I'd go see a headliner and then whoever's the feature or whatever, I'm like, oh, they're cool too. So now I'm into them.
Sometimes maybe they're better.
But I can't remember ever going. Yeah, that's true. I can't remember just going to concerts or going to shows like with zero knowledge of anyone involved.
That's what's funny about comedy. Sometimes you can go and the middle act can be you know, very strong up and comer and might be better than the headline.
Yeah, true.
But rarely do I go see a band when the opening act is better. Can blow out.
I've gone to see openers and left. I remember the Beautiful South.
Oh,
right?
You have.
I've talked
okay.
about them. I love them. They're amazing. But they never did any. They were not successful in the States at all. And so I remember one of the last tours they did. They were opening for the Bare Naked Ladies, which I'm not a fan of.
Right.
So I went to see them open like four or five times and then just left when they were finished.
Yeah, see, I went to see Alanis Morissette and the Bare Naked Ladies opened, and I was like, man, you know, whatever. But but they were kind of fun. And
I mean, they seem like nice enough dudes.
And I knew more of their songs than I thought that I did.
Right.
And so, you know, I have their greatest hits in my CD collection. But yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not like a... If they were coming this week, I wouldn't go, we gotta go see the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, I wasn't like, I should stay for their whole set. Like, no. I just left. Yeah.
Oh, Kyle. Poor Kyle.
Aw, stop crying.
April, could you put some Vicks VapoRub on Kyle's chest?
Sure.
So this doesn't post until April. Do you have any dates that you know of coming up in April?
No.
No.
I don't.
You will be.
I'm doing something in Vegas.
Who are you working
in
with?
In like mid-April. I'm doing some rockabilly weekend.
You're not on the bill for when Chelsea Handler plays on the Forum? Or is that already happened?
No, I'm not. I'm the only person at work they didn't ask to open for her.
Oh.
Yeah.
That stinks. When is that? Has that already happened at the time of this airing?
Yes. Or it's in the tour will be in progress. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to go? Are you going to that forum show? Are you guys all invited to go to that forum show?
I mean, I assume probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, go and hang out at the...
We went to Australia as a work field trip and she performed and we all went and it was fun.
To go to Australia?
Yeah, dude.
On the company tab?
On the company dime. And then they made it so it coincided with our hiatus. So I stayed an extra week and like went around Australia, went to Melbourne.
Oh, that's really cool.
Oh, it was
Did you see any shows down there?
I did, because one of my really good friends is a guy named Darren Hanlon, who's pretty big in Australia and he was on tour. So after I was done with my work part, I flew to Melbourne. I flew to the Avalon Airport. He picked me up, and I went on tour with him for a bit. He played the Port Fairy Folk Festival in this beautiful town called Port Fairy. And, yeah, so I like, fully toured with him for a bit.
Pilar was just teaching in Australia last week, actually.
What part?
She was in Melbourne. Melbourne. Am I saying it right? Is it Melbourne or Melbourne?
I think it's just Melbourne.
Melbourne and Sydney. And she was surprised how much smaller it was than she thought.
Right, right.
She said it's not as big as I thought it would be.
Yeah, and how there's kind of nothing in between the cities.
Yeah,
really. But I loved it. It was so amazing and beautiful.
Yeah, she had a great time. So what are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about music. What if we just talked about stuff like
just
this?
Just our lives. Yeah. Anyway, so how are you feeling about things?
I know I have a cough because Kyle got me infected.
Why'd you get him sick in 2 seconds?
I know. What'd you do?
Why are you
man?
Wearing a SARS mask?
He touched me. You should really have I want you to wear one of those suits that Walt and
like
Jesse
a hazmat suit.
Yeah, when they cook.
Totally.
When they cook their
beekeeper
meth.
Beekeeper suit. Let me say this about our topic. Can I say this?
You can introduce it.
Well, okay. Because I feel like I'm going to be fairly chatty on this topic. Our topic.
That's okay.
That you chose.
I did choose it.
Is Elvis versus Elvis.
Right.
Elvis Presley versus Elvis Costello.
Oh, no. I did the other.
Elvis Perkins versus... Who's another Elvis? Who's
I don't
another
even
famous
know.
Elvis?
I didn't even know there was
who's
another.
Who's that movie critic? There's a movie critic. Elvis somebody.
Oh, well, that guy's just being a
anyway,
dick.
No, I feel like that might be his name.
This might be his real name?
Maybe. I could be wrong.
Do you think parents should name their kid Elvis?
To me...
That's really... I mean, that's... Like, if you like Frank Sinatra and you name your kid Frank, no one's going to put that together. But you name your kid Elvis.
It's like, come on.
You know
but
where it, that
again,
comes from.
Now you could say, oh, it's after Elvis Costello. But then it's like, that's after Elvis Presley. Like, you know where it comes from.
Right.
Okay. Now, because I feel like I'm going to be defending myself a lot, because I know that music nerds and high fidelity types hate Elvis Presley. I know this. I grew up knowing this and dealing with it.
Okay.
Because of the main reason. Oh, he didn't write his songs. He didn't write his songs.
Mm-hmm.
But because of his time, that wasn't a big deal.
Right.
Almost no one wrote their songs. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a 30-page paper about this dude in college.
That sounds excessive.
It was awesome.
What was the class that allows you to do that?
It was a journal. I majored in journalism. Okay. It was a journalism class. And okay. We were supposed to, the whole point of the paper was we could only use primary sources. And we were supposed to only pick from two time periods. It was either, it was like Civil War, up to the Civil War, and then post 1960 or something to some, the 80, whatever.
Okay.
I convinced my teacher, let me do Elvis. I'm like, let me do 1954, Rise of Elvis. And he was like, fine. And so, yeah, I had to be in the library looking at microfiche of like Memphis newspapers.
Microfiche is ridiculous.
From 1954, mm-hmm. just straight up primary sources. It was fascinating. Great. And so another reason I get pissed is because people are like, oh, he's a racist. He uses this racist dick who ripped off black people.
I've never heard that he's a racist.
He super wasn't. Again, you have to take into the context period. Right. He wasn't racist.
Yeah, I'm just saying I've never heard that.
Oh, my God. I heard it all the time. And yes, he did rip off black people, but he never tried to. Every chance he got, he's like, yeah, I'm totally ripping off black people. I grew up in Memphis. I hung out on Beale Street. All I knew were black people.
Right.
Like, I don't know anything else to do. So Sam Phillips of Sun Records was like the more calculated, like, I got to find a white guy who sounds like a black guy.
Right.
Like for Elvis, it was just never calculated. It was like, this is all I know how to do. So I just get really defensive because I'm like, it's not like today where you can appropriate black culture in a very calculated mastermind type of way.
And everyone does that now. Mm. Everyone, so many white
artists. And I'm not saying it's right or
that.
It's not right, but it's like, I don't know. So I get bummed out when people, this is already taken like a really academic, annoying turn. I know.
All the British bands from the 60s that came over, all of their influence were from across the pond. All the influences were the old blues albums that they would listen to. And how come they can freely admit it? Oh, yeah, these were our inspirations.
Elvis was Southern, and like he was like a total hillbilly.
Right.
And like, I don't know. It was just when I was writing that paper, it was fascinating reading all of these sources in the newspapers and how it was like the insane outrage. Like just the act, quote unquote, of being like a black guy. I'm doing air quotes. Mm-hmm. He was like trying to get arrested in place. People wanted to arrest him. It was the most, and that was another thing that made me like him more, because for his time, like he was like punk as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like he was like the Sex Pistols of that time, because what he was doing was considered so dangerous, even though that's messed up now to look at it. Like equating acting black, quote unquote, with being dangerous is gross and terrible, of course. But I mean, at the time it was just like, no one was like edgier than this dude.
Well, it's so funny when like what's edgy at one period of time is so like,
and now it's like he's a played out like lounge singer that people clown on. But it's like at the time, at his most vital, at his peak, nobody could touch that dude.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in 6th, 7th, 8th grade and I had my Kiss records, I mean, my mom thought that was the worst.
Oh, totally.
Thing ever. I mean, and literally, if you listen to it now, the drums are like,
exactly.
It's just like so nothing. It's
right. But it's at the time, yeah, it was crazy and scary. I remember because my mom's brother was like super into Kiss, and she was like so scared. She was telling me how she was like always scared of him because he had posters, and she was like, they were so scary to me.
I know. It's just like, oh, they're
dangerous.
They're comic book characters.
Yes. Yes.
Silly.
Yeah.
But
at the time, yeah, I mean, they were total innovators. Like nobody else was really doing that. And so of course it was scary and new.
What was your grade on that paper?
Oh, I think I got an A on it. I have it somewhere in my parents' house, I'm sure.
I'm sure you do.
But, yeah, I probably got an A. I'm going to say I got an A.
What? I think we need to scan that and post that online.
I should find it. It's somewhere in my parents' attic, I'm sure.
With
all my other college stuff.
So what's going to happen today then? You're going to play your favorite. This must have been extreme. First of all, how many albums does Elvis
Presley have? One thing I got to say. He's a dude, while I have like a zillion of his songs, like, albums are kind of meaningless. Like, you know what I mean?
He's more singles oriented. Yeah. Like, no one ever said, like, this Elvis album is the best Elvis album.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
that. It kind of isn't like that. I mean, like, the first one, like, everybody, like, The Clash ripped off the cover and all that, like, the self-titled, I guess. But, yeah, when I was going through my collection, I'm like, I think even in that time, most people, it wasn't like, have you heard how this album flows from start to finish?
Right. It wasn't like, have you heard Rubber Soul or have you heard Revolver?
Yeah.
It wasn't like that.
It wasn't like that yet.
No,
so,
not yet.
I don't really have, I mean, yeah, it's just like a bunch of songs that I kind of even can't tell you what albums they come off of and all that kind of shit. So,
and are we going to know all these songs, or are you going to surprise us with some?
I'll surprise you with some, but you're probably going to know most of them.
And as far as someone writing their songs or not writing their songs, sure, that's always an amazing plus if you're a singer, songwriter, if you're a double threat. But we talked about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, Murray and I, a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't think that Linda Ronstadt should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Because of that reason?
Yeah, because of that reason. I'm like, you know what? It's how do you disregard that voice and that talent?
100% agree with
you. Just because she's unable to write a song. And maybe she can write songs, but they're just not up to par with these songs that she recorded.
Right. No, I completely agree with you. Because it's like, if you stand me next to Linda Ronstadt, you hand her a sheet of lyrics, hand me a sheet of lyrics, guess who's going to sing it better?
Yeah, I mean,
she should be rewarded for that. Like, that's not...
Like, some, there might be a great comedy writer, but he might not be a good comedy performer.
Totally.
So,
absolutely.
Mean, he goes on and writes...
I fully agree. And so. I think that using that as a yardstick, like, erases anybody like Frank Sinatra too is a prime example of that. Cause I'm like, who could do that better than that guy? Who cares if he didn't write the song?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, back then a lot of times people didn't write their own songs.
Yeah.
Also comedy. There could be a guy that's a great performer. It's all personality and the material is like, meh.
Right.
But you still like watching him because you're like, yeah,
he's still got something.
This guy's got
I also have had this argument with people about Elton John, too, because they're like, he doesn't write his lyrics. And I'm like, who cares?
He writes that music.
But people are like, he doesn't write his own, like, it's not his own thing, like all of it. And I'm like, he knows his strengths. He knows he can't write lyrics. So why not go with what he can do?
And those lyrics must mean something to him when he reads them. Because, I mean, I'm sure there's lyrics that Bernie Taupin gave to Elton John. And Elton's like, I can't really, I'm not.
Oh, yeah,
this.
And there are also some whack-ass lyrics anyway that got recorded even. But I'm just... The funny... This is like off the rails. It's just the Elton John thing. I have that argument kind of often with people. And I was like, I feel like it's harder. I feel like if somebody hands you words and goes write music to this, I think that's harder than just writing it all together.
Yeah, and especially because, as you should know, if you're a music fan, they don't write together. He's handed the lyrics, and then he writes the... Is it the music or the lyrics? Which comes first?
I think the lyrics come first.
Yeah, and then,
in their situation, I think Bernie hands him the lyrics, and then he writes the melody. And then it's the opposite, because, you know, I'm obsessed with the Smiths. Johnny Marr used to just hand Morrissey cassette tapes of music.
Okay.
He's like, here's songs I wrote, and then Morrissey would take the tapes and go home and listen to them and come up with the words and the vocal melody. Yeah.
The and again, when I listen to Elton John, even though I know that he doesn't write the lyrics, when I listen to him, that doesn't even enter my mind.
Me neither.
Because when he's singing it,
he's feeling it.
He's doing it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes, we agree. We agree on these things before we're about to disagree on everything.
I don't think we're disagreeing on everything. I'm just not. An Elvis fan.
Don't blame you at all. I swear to God. I'm like, I don't know many people around my age that are.
But this is good. This is, I am a recent Elvis Costello devotee. So we'll, is that even a word?
Yes,
but
it is.
So what we're going to do is you're going to play your favorite Elvis songs.
Yes.
I'm going to play some of my favorite Elvis Costello songs. I also have an Elvis Presley song that I do like, and I'll tell you why when I first heard it and why I like it. And you always have a gazillion more songs than me, so I'm going to let you start.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with one that's kind of not that good, but the reason I'm going to start with it, it's the very first song I can remember hearing in general when I was like 4, because my mom would play this album all the time. It's called Moody Blue.
I love that you said mama.
Did I say mama?
It sounded like you said mama. My mama.
She would play it all the time when I was little, and I remember because it was on the album Moody Blue, and it was blue vinyl. You can drop the needle, whatever. It's like a cheesy 70s jam, but literally the first song I remember hearing in life.
And we are eating Fluffer Nutter bacon sandwiches while we do this.
Just like a ball of twine on a spool that never ends. Just when I think I know her well, her emotions reveal she's not the person that I thought I knew. She's a complicated lady, so I call her my baby, a moody blue. That is like middling 70s Elvis.
That is...
I'm telling you, it's the first piece of music I even remember hearing
life. That's called Moody Blue?
It's called Moody Blue. It was on a blue, transparent blue vinyl record. Because I remember when I was a little kid being like, holy crap. Like,
don't you wish you had that right now?
My mom still has it.
Oh, she does.
I bet if my mom, like, prized... She grew up into Elvis. Like, she saw him live a bunch. And wow, so she still has all of her like original Elvis records from when she was a teenager.
So this is definitely a bonding musical figure for the two of you.
I absolutely acknowledge that as well, that like I was raised on this stuff. My mom didn't give a care about the Beatles. She was all Elvis all the time. So like I was raised hearing this stuff.
How old is your mom right now?
She's 60. She will be very angry that I said that on in a public forum.
That is young.
But she's 60.
That's a young mom.
Yeah. Is it?
Well, yeah.
She had me when she was 26. That was kind of old for the time.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean,
I remember her telling me that all her friends were like, you're going to have a kid or what, spinster? Yeah, I'm 20.
I'm 50. I have a 9-year-old. So, I mean, it's totally different now.
Well, this is in the South.
Because that's true.
Yeah.
What else are they going to do?
Also, I know that that's a part of it. I'm Southern.
Mm-hmm.
I've got that connection.
Yep.
You know, I'm a Southern lady. Who's that makes me have in my DNA? I have to be an Elvis.
You got like Elvis.
Yeah.
Well, so you've been to Graceland?
Oh my God, like 15 times. Of course. Well, because it was not that far driving distance from Atlanta. It's like 8 hours.
Yeah.
There would be some weekends where we. That's nothing. We'd be like, hey, I'm bored. Let's go to Memphis. Like no joke.
That is to me. It's like it's like 90 minutes away, and
oh,
you're
no,
like,
it's
you're
like 8 hours.
8 hours, right around the piece of cake. Let's do it.
Corner.
That's a day trip.
That's nothing. It is a day trip. 8 hours is a day of driving.
All right. I'm going to. Okay. Now it's Elvis Costello. And again, it's not a competition. It's not, we call it Elvis versus Elvis, but they're not battling it out. Elvis Costello, he took his name from Elvis did he take it?
I believe
Elvis
so. I can't see where else he would have gotten it.
Not as a joke, but maybe as an homage. I don't know.
I don't really know.
I don't know either. I'm going to have to investigate
that. The funny thing is, I don't know a lot about Elvis Costello personally. Obviously, I like
either.
His jams.
Yeah.
Cool dude. Don't know that much about him personally.
Me neither.
I know his real name is Declan McManus.
Declan Patrick McManus,
yes.
I think. Yeah.
That's
I guess that doesn't look good on a record, does it?
Really
coming up, the new single by Declan Patrick McManus.
He started on Stiff Records, so it's like, I bet maybe the fake Elvis name is like a kind of fuck you punk rock thing.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it's because he's, like, making fun of him or something.
So funny. He seems like more of, like, an English gentleman now than he, like,
right.
than a punk.
Well, because now he's, like, doing jazz stuff. He's married to a sweet jazz lady or whatever.
That's right. You've used the word lady a lot today. Sweet jazz lady. Okay, well, this is from Elvis Costello's, I think this is the third album, Armed Forces, and this is Oliver's Army.
Start the talking. I could talk all night. My mind was sleepwalking while I'm putting the world to right. Call careers information. Have you got yourself an occupation? All of us are here to stay. All of us are on their way.
I guess we'll throw that out. We'll dedicate that one to Jimmy and Danielle's son, Oliver Pardo.
That is such a great song.
Yeah, not a lot of people have that name, Oliver, either. There's not a lot of Olivers. Do you know any Olivers?
I know.
Uh-oh, here we go.
No, it's a recent Tom Lennon's son is Oliver. Rob Delaney's son is Oliver.
Oh, it's a new...
There's recent, sons in a row named Oliver.
Oh, it's a new one coming around.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All
it's
right.
coming back.
Well, then
I think the Pardos led the charge.
They did.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I like that song. And Elvis Costello, he has like, because I went through the whole catalog once I started getting into it, and I had to listen to every single thing. And he has like 7-8 great albums, and then it gets a little spotty,
a little dicey
here and there. Oh, there's 4 songs on that one I like. Yeah, I like about 3 on that. But the first like 6 or 7 are really
just like flawless.
Killer.
I agree
They're
with
pretty
you.
Killer.
Totally.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
What was that last one again? Moody?
Moody Blue.
Moody Blue.
That was mid-70s Elvis, or early 70s Elvis.
You know, part of you has to be happy that he didn't write that one.
Well, here's another thing about... Now I'm like looking up Moody Blue because I want to see it. But he...
What if you weren't? What if you were just texting your friends?
Just like, hey, I'm super bored
Hey,
already.
Man, this is bullshit. I could have done this at home.
I will say this. 70... Like, I'm not an apologist. Totally know that guy did some garbage stuff. Like, I totally know it. I also own all of his movies on DVD, and I know 80% of them are garbage. But the whole dismissal of Elvis, like, just 70s Elvis blanket dismissal kind of bums me out because he didn't get like super gross and terrible until like the last year of his
super
life.
Super gross and terrible.
Well, like just how everybody goes, yeah, Moody Blue is 77. I thought it was earlier than that. I knew it was 70s, but I thought it was early 70s. Anyway, he still was touring Vegas. He still was on his game until like the last year of his life. Yeah. And that's when he like really gained weight, really was dire circumstances. But Aloha from Hawaii's early 70s, him at the International Hotel in Vegas is early 70s. Like all that stuff is still super awesome. Mm-hmm. Like I still watch the Aloha from Hawaii DVD all the time. And I'm like, this is pretty badass.
How old would Elvis be if he was alive now?
I think in his 80s.
In his
80s.
Right?
So yeah. I think so.
What? So yeah, he was done before you were even born.
Oh, he died in 77.
Yeah.
So 2 years before I was born. Yeah.
I remember where I was when he died.
Yeah.
Is it a baseball? It was like a Little League baseball game. I wasn't even playing. I was there watching someone else play, and they announced it over the speakers.
And did you do like the jerk off hand motion where you're like, I don't care, that guy sucks?
No, because at that age, I didn't. He wasn't on my radar musically. So right. At that age, I was just like, I remember everyone was like, oh man, really, Elvis?
Yeah.
So, because how old was he when he passed?
42.
That's really
44, 42.
That's really young.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's terribly young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, but he was in bad shape.
Yeah. All right, what's up?
Okay.
What do you got?
All right, after your jam, okay, I'm going to play this song called Such a Night, but here's the thing. This is like an outtakey kind of thing. I want you to play it from the beginning just because I like to hear him talk.
Oh, he's in a Sunny in Red.
It's like in a studio thing, but it's a jam. I mean, it's a total jam.
So we're going to lay this down.
Let's play this. Let's play this one from the beginning. It's great.
WB 0105, take two. I'm sorry, it's my fault. See, how many are we going to do? How many did we do before? Okay, all right. L to WB 0105, take three.
It was a night.
No. I don't think it was. L to WB 0105, take four.
Hey, wave my hand, Chief, before you come in. On the beat.
It was a night. Ooh, what a night it was. It really was such a night. The moon was bright. Oh, how bright it was. It really was such a night. The night was alive with stars above. Ooh, when she kissed me, I had to fall in love. Oh, it was a kiss. Ooh, what a kiss it was.
That voice, dude.
Well, I will tell you, there's nothing better than a band playing, recording live in the studio.
Oh, my God, totally.
I mean, I think I've talked about this before, but I saw a documentary when Aerosmith's album Pump came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was Making of Pump. And you see Steven Tyler singing like a line at a time. And mm-hmm. They're piecing it all together. And I was like, oh, I never knew that happened. Mm-hmm. I thought they just went in. And
did everything like separately?
Did it and then put it all together. But I didn't know that he would sing like one, could possibly sing, oh, could you do that line again, Steven? And then they would just and edit it. I'm like, oh,
right.
Man, that feels so not organic or not.
Right.
Not, but yeah. I do like the sound of live.
Oh, my God, I do too.
Hear them counting it in. You can hear the guy's foot tapping on
yes.
the floor.
And like the horns are there and stuff. Like, I love that too.
Yeah.
And I love that. I mean, like, I just think he has the most amazing voice mm-hmm. ever of all time.
Yeah.
And so I like that. I like how it's so effort. It's just, he's like, hey, one more time. Okay. And then just opens his mouth and that amazing voice comes
right.
out. Like with zero prep or zero, mm-hmm. just like, yeah, I got this. I'm singing amazingly with no, you know, ramp up at all. I don't know. I love it. I love it.
I got some, here's what I got on Elvis Costello. His father, I guess, was a musician, and his father's stage name was D.P. Costello. So his manager at Stiff Records said, why don't you take Elvis Presley's first name and your dad's stage name, and we'll call you Elvis Costello.
Okay.
And that was it.
Oh.
So that worked. That worked for him.
That seems really, I mean, what a, hey, how about this? You just take Elvis Presley's first name. Oh, okay. Like, the, you know what I mean? Like, that's
it was either that or Elvis Cougar Mellencamp. Yeah. So he went with, he decided to go
he
with
made
Elvis
the right
Costello.
Choice. Yeah.
Okay, my next Elvis Costello song is from 1982 album called Imperial Bedroom, when kind of mellows it down a little bit, and this is Man Out of Time.
Okay. Is the high heel he used to be has been ground down, and it listens for the footsteps that would follow him.
Thank you, Kyle. Kyle, how are you holding up there? Let's hear that voice. Let's compare that to Elvis's. I want you to say, let's take it from, let's do one more. Take it from the top. Yeah. No, not at all. Okay.
No chance. Okay. All right. For my next one, then, I'm going to do this total jam called Stranger in My Own Hometown, which is from Elvis back in Memphis. This is like after he's back out of the army, he's back on his game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Comeback Special came out.
And you love that Comeback Special. You told me you watch it like every
like
2 weeks.
Like weekly. Like, yeah. No joke. Because it is, to me, it's like just a performer at the top of his game in mm-hmm. every way. He looks his best. He sounds his best. Moves are on point. Mm-hmm. Everything about it.
This would be like Cheap Trick at Budokan.
Oh, totally.
For Elvis.
I've totally just put it on at party. Like, if people come to my house, I'm like, here's the background stuff. Right. Elvis 68 Comeback Special. Enjoy it.
And what do I want to say? I can't even talk. Have people watched this and then said, you know what? I really never really liked Elvis
people
that much.
People kind of have. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying
cool.
I'm like converting people,
right.
But they're
converting
definitely...
Converting is what the word I was looking for.
Actually,
was.
Now I'm going to change my choice. I'll play this one next because now we're talking about this. I'm going to play... Oh, what should I play from it? I'm going to play... I'm going to play Guitar Man. So it's in there, Trouble/Guitar Man. Play it at like 110. That's from this thing. But no, I haven't converted people to where they're like, I'm going to go buy all of Elvis's records. But right. Definitely people have been like, oh, he's not terrible. Like, I thought he sucked, and now I'm seeing...
They gain an appreciation.
Yeah, okay. Totally. So this is one of the songs in the medley in the beginning of the 68 Special.
Well, I quit my job down at the car wash. I left my mama here goodbye notes. By sundown, I left Kingsland with my guitar and my coat. I hitchhiked all the way down to Memphis, got a room in the YMCA. And for the next 3 weeks, I went to hunt them nights, I was looking for a place to stay. Well, I thought my picket would set them on fire, but nobody wanted to hire a guitar man. Well, I nearly bounced on the death down to Memphis. I run out of money and luck, so I bought me a ride down to Macon, Georgia on an overloaded boat. I bumped on down to Panama City, started picking out some of them all-night bars. I'm hoping I can make myself a dollar making music on my guitar. I got the same old story from all-night beers, you know there ain't
I can
no room around here for guitar
it.
Man.
It's him like walking down the thing, he's got the guitar in hand, it's the best.
Black,
so badass.
Black leather, black jet black hair.
Yeah, well, that's in the round when he's like sitting in the round.
Yes.
This is when he's wearing like a white suit.
Oh, okay.
He has a few outfit changes. Isn't
I've
it?
Only I think I've only ever seen clips when it's in the round with him.
That is the best. And every time I watch that, I'm like, I don't understand how. Like, he's sitting, like, there are girls right next. I'm like, how are they not ripping him to shreds? I'd be ripping his clothes off.
They were probably in
they
his
must
hotel
have had to sign
night,
something.
Probably in his hotel room the night before.
All of them? I mean, maybe, I guess it
maybe.
Could be possible. But I was wondering what they were signing, like, when they come into the thing. It's like, I will not forcibly rape Elvis Presley yeah. when I am sitting 2 feet away from him. Sign here.
Yeah, it's, I know that the fanaticism of girls back then with
Elvis, pretty much anyone.
It was insane.
It was insane. It was insane.
Again, that's live. There's no click track.
No.
There's no backing track. Mm-mm. There's not a... keyboard guy under the stage.
Right.
Everyone's out there. Everyone's playing live.
Totally.
And I do like that aspect. I don't know why. I mean, look, when This is probably for you, like when I hear someone go, nah, I don't really like the Beatles.
Right.
You go like, well, how do you not like the Beatles?
No, I definitely understand people not liking Elvis way more than that. Mm. I definitely get it.
Okay.
I totally get it. I think it's weird, mm-hmm. but I get it.
Right. That's like if someone tells, because a lot of people tell me that they don't like the Ramones, and I get that.
Right.
But I love the Ramones.
Sure. So. Well, I mean, a lot of...
Elvis and the Ramones, I'm not putting them in the same category.
But I mean, I get it in the way that, like, you know, if you're a music purist or whatever, I get that there's, you don't like that he doesn't write his songs. You don't... Because a lot of it for me, though, too, he just was like a total pat, like the stylized... Like, I'm into the costumes, the hair, like, all of that is a thing to me. And that I think is a very important, like most of the stuff. Here's my thing. I'm like, you can not like them all you want.
You like the little capes?
I do. I kind of do. I like a showman. I like that kind of stuff.
Right.
But for me, it's like you can not like them all day long, but you have to admit that like 98% of whatever you listen to would not have happened if Elvis Presley wasn't born.
98%.
I promise you. Or it would have taken much longer for it to happen. Well, because this, go back and read my, let me, I'll find my journalism paper from college.
Well, bands I like love Elvis. You
right,
know
but
what
it
mean?
Isn't even a case of like, it's not that. It's like, he made it possible. I don't mean, he didn't like invent music, but it's like, had he not done what he done at the time, he did it.
It would have taken a lot longer for other stuff to happen. He allowed other white, up-and-coming white artists. To be more black.
I mean, that sounds like gross, but
sounds
kinda.
Weird, I know.
Yeah. All right.
Did you ever see that Elvis biopic with Kurt Russell?
I did.
Elvis? It's directed by John Carpenter.
I feel like he was the best Elvis out
kinda
of
was
all
a good Elvis.
Of the Elvises that have played. And interestingly enough, one of the first movies he was in when he was a little kid was an Elvis movie.
Oh, that's funny.
And he stomped on Elvis's foot and Elvis like yells at him. Oh, I forget. I think it's Spin Out or Speedway. I don't know. But it's like little like 6-year-old Kurt Russell.
He stomps on his foot in scene.
Yes.
It wasn't like.
No, it was part of the movie. Okay. Like Kurt Russell stomps on his foot and
That's funny. Kurt Russell's been around forever.
Yeah.
That guy's cool.
He still looks good, by the way.
What's up with that guy? Hey, this next song, it comes from Elvis's Costello's first album on Warner Brothers Records. This is produced by T-Bone Burnett and co-written by Paul McCartney. Mm. And this is, everyone knows this song. This is Veronica.
All in that pretty little head of yours, what goes on in that place in the dark? Well, I used to know a girl, and I could have sworn that her name was Veronica. Well, she used to have a carefree mind of her own and a delicate look in her eye. These days, I'm afraid she's not even sure if her name was Veronica.
Looks like
that's not rules.
Looks like McCartney played bass on that too.
Oh.
Looks like Chrissy Hynde might have sang some background vocals on that too.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a jam.
Yeah, that's a fun song. It must have been a thrill to write for anyone to get to write with McCartney, work with McCartney.
Oh, of course.
So pretty cool. Did Elvis ever work with other artists, like other known artists?
He
never do it, like they didn't do those duets albums back in the day.
No, it wasn't anything like that. I do remember reading about how, speaking of McCartney, like when he first met the Beatles, mm-hmm. and Elvis was just freaked out because they all just stared at him. Like they, you know, obviously they wanted to meet him, and he was like, of course, yeah. I totally want to meet the Beatles. And it was like a case of him being like, hey guys, what's going on? And like, they all just stared at him.
Elvis.
And he's like, okay, if you guys are just going to stare at me, I'm going to go to bed or whatever. Yeah. That they were just like that awestruck. But he did later on want to, he kind of hated the Beatles at first because he was like scared and intimidated by them. Mm-hmm. But then later on he was like, I get it. I want to do weirder stuff. I want to do more progressive music stuff. And the Colonel was like, no, you can't.
The Colonel.
For real. Like, the Colonel is the worst and, like, the grossest.
You talking about Colonel Sanders?
Colonel Sanders. His manager, Colonel Sanders, is like, look, I got 33 herbs and spices on the line here. No, Colonel Tom Parker was the worst dude ever, and Elvis didn't know it and didn't know how to handle you know, he was just like some kid who's like, I just want to sing. I don't care what I have to do that. Yes, I'll sign my life away to you.
But yet Elvis's estate is worth millions and millions. So something must have been right. The colonel must have done something right, right?
Well, I know when Elvis was alive, he got like 50-50. It was like the most unheard of manager deal ever. It was like 50-50, no joke. And like, obviously, that's insane.
So if Elvis made $1 billion, the colonel got $500 million.
Totally. But I don't know since, I mean, yeah, I think Elvis has made more, obviously, since he's been dead.
Right.
But I don't know how that works now. I mean, obviously, since the colonel is dead, I don't know. I think just Lisa Marie gets all the money.
I'm a big Lisa Marie fan. Her music is...
What if somebody was like, I don't like Elvis Presley, but I love Lisa Marie Presley.
I mean, she brings something to... She writes her own songs. Did her dad do that? He didn't.
Imagine, though...
That would be so odd.
Yeah, totally. But,
I love Donnie Harrison. He is so much better than...
Remember when... Well, when she first started, I felt so bad because I'm like, imagine if your dad is literally probably the most famous person who ever lived, and you're like, I'm going to do what he did. It's like, why bother?
And then Michael Jackson is your ex-husband.
Oh my God, how weird. But do you remember, I think it was David Spade when he was hosting Weekend Update when the Wallflowers came out and he was doing like the Hollywood Men
right.
And he was talking about that, like how Jacob Dylan have to go, hey dad, I'm in a band now. Like, do you want to hear my band? Are we good? And he's like, I'm Bob Dylan. You're not good.
You're not good.
Yeah. I know that because I'm Bob Dylan.
Yeah. That must be so, I mean, who is an offspring that's like really, that is.
Who's like gone out on their own and did well.
Yeah. It's tough. Like Julian Lennon, when he first came out, was pretty successful.
Yeah,
he sounds so much like his dad.
Yeah.
It's like scary.
Who? Rebby Jackson? Centipede? No, who?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's a good question.
I don't think
nobody comes to mind who's like super successful.
Maybe Hank Williams Jr.?
Hank Williams Jr., totally.
Yeah.
He's more successful, I think, than his dad ever was.
Yeah. I mean, not my bag, but
I've seen Hank Williams Jr. live, dog, and it was good. This is when I was like 8.
Yeah.
At the Savannah Civic Center. Obviously way pre Fox News stuff where I'm like, oh, he's a creep.
Right.
But he can play everything. I remember at 8 years old being like, this guy kind of rocks. Yeah. And he just played every instrument.
Yeah, if you can sometimes say, you know, before the internet and everything, we didn't know what anyone's views were.
I didn't know.
You know what I mean?
Also, my uncle is like, looks just like, my uncle's like super Bocephus for life. Only wears, he only wears like Bocephus t-shirts and looks just like him. Like has a big beard and like looks like Hank Williams Jr. Like loves him so much. So I remember he was like, you want to go? And I'm like, I'm 8. I'll go to a show. And then I was like, this is kind of good. Yeah.
I think you're up.
Okay,
you're
sorry. We've
hardly played any music. We're talking.
Okay, now this time I'll play "Stranger in My Own Hometown." This is from back in Memphis. This is live in Memphis, post Army, everything. You can play from the beginning. This is a jam.
Like a stranger in my own hometown. I'm like a stranger. Like a stranger in my own hometown. My so-called friends start being friendly. Oh, but you can't keep a good man down. No, you can't keep him. I came home with intentions about 5 or 6 years ago. About 5 or 6 years ago, my hometown won't accept me. I just don't feel welcome here no more.
Now, see, I wouldn't have, if someone just played that for me, I wouldn't know that was Elvis, really.
Really?
I don't think I would.
Because that's how versatile his voice is?
And I might have actually liked that.
Oh, no!
But,
nice!
Yeah,
that's pretty victory cool. For me.
There's a victory, because I didn't know. I didn't know it was Elvis.
Well, you did know, because of the theme of the show being Elvis versus Elvis.
I pretended like I didn't
know. Okay.
This is my next. I have no back history. I have no all this fun stuff about Elvis Costello that you have. I just know that they have the same name. So let's throw that together for a slipshod topic. This is from an album called Punch the Clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think this is when he was trying to be a little more poppy.
Right.
A little more poppy and get some more radio play. And
mm-hmm.
And this is a song called Let Them All Talk.
You ought to say to our tattoo. Believe me now, I'm all over you. All over you. I know the plan. And to hold, to heaven and not. Listen to the sad songs that the radio plays, and we come as far, far, far to find it so cliche. Let them talk, let them talk.
Got the background singers, got the horns in there.
Right, right.
Little different Elvis Costello sound on that one. Someone suggested a topic a long time ago that we've never done called Let's Get Horny. And
I'm so into horn sections.
But like bands that usually don't use horns, when they all of a sudden,
right.
Now we're going to use them for a song or two.
Right.
We might have to
Into horn sections, and I'm super into saxophone solos and pop songs. I swear to God, like genuinely into it.
What's your favorite sax solo?
Careless Whisper.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
It's a pretty good.
Wham's Careless Whisper.
That's good. Who plays sax on that? Do you know that? Let's see.
I don't know that.
You could have said any
name. I don't know, right? Kenny G. Yeah. No, I have no idea. But like
Clive Owen. Really? The actor Clive Owen? Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's who did it.
That's his sax background. Sexual harassment. I have a playlist in my iTunes called Sexual Harassment with all my favorite sax solo songs.
Do you isolate the sax solo? Like you don't have the whole, you just...
friend of mine really did make a loop of the Careless Whisper solo. It goes on for like 10 minutes. That's all it is. It's so great. Okay, now...
Hit me, Sonny. Red.
That makes me... what you play makes me... It depends on what I play. So now I feel like I should play some horns things. I'm going to play... This is a song where he just goes balls out and he's like... Rah! It's called Hard-Headed Woman. He's just like...
I hope there's no lyrics. I just hope it's music and he's like... Rah!
You can play this one from the beginning too.
Well, a hard-headed woman, a soft-hearted man... But in the cause of trouble ever since the world began. Oh yeah, oh yeah. And the church of what we get. A hard-headed woman, well, it's born in the slide, oh man. Adam told Eve, listen here to me. Don't you let me catch you messing around that apple tree. Oh yeah, oh yeah. And the church of what we get.
Yeah, so that's a jam.
This that song just made me think of something. When I first moved out here, one of the first jobs I had was I would do kids' parties on the weekend. I would dress up in costume. Whoever was requested, you know,
right.
I'd be a Power Ranger, I'd be Barney, whoever I want.
Right.
I got a call from the agency. They're called Characters Kids Love.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we need, the kid wants Elvis at his party.
A kid?
Yeah. And I said, I don't look like Elvis. I can't sing.
Yeah, I can't.
And they go, my hair's not great like Elvis's. little better 15 years ago than it is now. But they're like, look, we got a great costume. We got the cool 70s
sure.
big sunglasses and the
jumpsuit. And,
yeah, I mean the costume was amazing. And they go, put some fake sideburns on you and just, you know, slick your, do whatever you can with your hair. So I did that party. And the kid knew I wasn't Elvis.
Sure.
But
how old was this kid?
He was like 4 or 5.
What a rad kid.
And he was dressed like Elvis too. And
what?
So I just, you know, I can't sing, but I just won't fool them on. I would just do stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, but I was dreading it, you know, the whole, not because I didn't like Elvis. I was just dreading it because,
Because the kid's going to know you're a fraud.
Yeah, and I also dreaded it whenever, like, when the kids would want Superman. And
right.
I would be Superman. Because you get there and they're like...
But that seems relatively easy as far as like...
It is, but then they're going to say, can you fly? Can you lift up my car?
Of course.
And then you have to make all these... My friend Rusty says, because he did the kids' parties too, he's like, when you show up as Superman, you're really just man.
Yeah.
Because you can't do anything super.
Can't you lie though? And can't you be like, I think one of you kids has kryptonite on you, so unfortunately I can't. I can feel it in the vicinity.
We would lean towards the, I'm here for you. If I fly, I might see trouble and then I might have to leave. So, and then be like,
that is incredible.
Okay.
Look, kid, I'm here to entertain you. I'm not on the clock.
Yeah, right.
If I start flying, I might see crime.
Yeah.
I might have to go solve it.
This is my day off. I want to have some cake. I'm away from that battle axe.
Superman has a
Lois.
Day off. I'm not punching the clock today, kid. On my during my leisure time, I'm hanging out at your party.
One time I did a Spider-Man party, so I have to dress in my car. It's in a public park, so I dress in my car, and then I'm walking across the park full Spider-Man garb, and I've got my bag of balloons and all my stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And there's some kids on the swings, and this kid yells, "Hey, Spider-Man!" And I wave, and he goes, "You suck!"
Well, of course!
You son of a bitch.
How old was that kid?
Old enough to punch?
Did you go punch him?
He was probably 12. And,
oh, okay.
And I was like, my response was, nice talk.
Yeah. That's
really
what you said.
Yeah. Nice talk. Sure.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
Is it my turn? It's my turn.
Yeah.
This is from the O2s. This is yes, it is. It's
the aughts.
This is from an album called When I Was Cruel. This is a song that the Bangles also did a cover of. It's a pretty great song called Tear Off Your Own Head, and then in parentheses, It's a Doll Revolution. All right.
Who drives your eyes as you cry real tears? Who knows who cares? But I'm
How many albums does Elvis have? What was his output? Was it like maybe a couple albums a year?
I couldn't even tell you, because even in that day too, like everything was like a repackaging and a greatest hits and a whatever. Like it was all just a collection of singles. Because I was looking at that too, and like his discography is just like endless. Like as far as like proper albums, I couldn't even tell you that.
Right.
That's what's so, I'm like so into Elvis, and I'm like, I want to talk about him all day. But when it comes down to that brass tacks of that stuff,
I'm just curious, because back then it seemed like bands just went in and just recorded
constantly,
because it wasn't this nitpicky thing of we got to spend months and months and months in the studio. It wasn't like U2, five years between albums.
Right.
They just went in and,
well, and also
and did it.
And like we were saying earlier, there was no thought of how is this going to flow and what should be the opening track and the closer and whatever. Like no, it was just like put the songs on a record and get it out.
I mean, it wasn't Springsteen recording 40 songs, taking it down to 12 and then spending months
and then
just sequencing.
Totally.
I can't say the word. Sequencing the album.
Yeah, exactly. So that none of that was like really part of the process. I feel like none of that was part of the process until like the Beatles.
Yeah, it feels like maybe it shouldn't be part of the process. Maybe it should just be more fun.
Well, I
and
feel
freewheeling.
Like it isn't again now. I feel like it started with the Beatles, and then because I like that though, especially when I was growing up and I would buy an album, I would sit down, I would put on my headphones, and I would listen to it from start to finish. Like, because to me, I would analyze it, the hell out of it. Like, why is it in this order? Why does this song follow this song? Da, da, da. And like the arc of it. But I think now we've gone back to where that doesn't matter because of iTunes and everything.
Yeah.
Like people barely even buy entire albums at once.
I know they don't. It's just like, I like these two songs.
Right.
And a lot of times that's good when there's not a good album and you just want the three songs. But I still do like albums. But
I do too. But it makes me kind of feel bad this day and age for people who do still put care and it's deliberate. With the bands that do sit down and go, this is the order because it means something and the flow of the whatever. Because I don't think anybody really pays attention to that anymore.
I just feel like you can't have a career in music anymore. Like you can't have like a career that's gonna give you mailbox money
right.
for the rest of your life. Like Foo Fighters, let's say. It's just not, that doesn't happen anymore. Everyone doesn't love this band, and then you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I fully agree with you.
It's must be so tough to be a musician right now.
I agree completely, and also because it's not viewed. People's careers aren't, you know, back in the day, whatever that I guess up until like the 90s, you could like people you'd be like, "This is a promising debut album.
Right.
Let's see what the next one.
Right.
Let's see how they mature to the." And now it's just like, "Hey, do you have a cool jam? Okay, that's fine. Like it's not." There's no time to evolve or change and grow.
I wonder what it would be like, because I'm sure is American Top 40, is that still a weekly show?
I don't even know.
What would that be like to sit down and listen to that? I would probably be like, what? I don't even know any of this.
Definitely be like, I don't know any of this. But I don't know. Because I would also listen to it. Those shows when I was growing up, I'd listen to them as an indicator. Like I'd hear a song, go, I'm going to go buy that album because I want to see what the rest of the album is. And like, I don't think anybody has that attitude anymore. They just go, I'm going to go buy that song.
No,
the end.
And you couldn't go on iTunes and like listen to 90 seconds of each song and then decide you had to go out and you bought it.
And if you didn't like it, tough.
You didn't like it.
Totally.
You lost $9.
And I think I kind of forced myself to like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, because you'd go, okay.
Because later on I'd listen and go, what? But it's like, because I bought it, I went through the effort of going to physically buy this thing. I'd get it home and be like, I should listen to it a lot since I paid this money.
When I was in high school and college, I mean, even though my parents didn't listen to what I was listening to, they knew who Madonna was or Prince or Springsteen. They knew, they were aware of who these artists are. And now we don't have a real awareness of who everyone is.
But I was talking to Chip about this actually recently too, about Prince being the last of, like, we're never going to have like another Prince or another Madonna.
No,
there's never going to be like another iconic person who's like everyone on the planet knows who this person is.
I think, and I've talked about this artist so many times, but maybe Taylor Swift.
Right, I was thinking that, or
it feels like everyone knows who she is.
Right. But
she still feels like it's, for some reason, I think she still, it still feels like she's for kids.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
She's not, but it feels that way.
Right.
I don't know. I think because she's, on the surface, her music feels safe.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's nothing threatening. Like, I just feel like Prince is the last of that breed. And it's crazy for me to think in my lifetime, in my prime music listening years, even like I had Prince, Michael Jackson, and Madonna. I had all three of those.
Yeah.
I feel like they're, because they're like the three last of that kind of thing.
Right. I remember when I got my first iPod, it was the original iPod that came out. And I remember the iTunes music store, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. And now
you kind of don't
like it. I kind of think it's not, even though I still use it. We're using it today. We're using iTunes and everything to play the music. But it kind of ruined.
Oh, I only recently succumbed. I only started using iTunes in like the last year.
Really?
And I only recently... I used to be like annoyingly, defiantly, like I'm never buying anything off iTunes.
Yeah.
But in the last year is the first time I bought music off of it. And it was, I will say, I still buy it like you, totally go out to Amoeba and buy physical CDs. I'll never stop doing that. But in iTunes, I have found it useful for stuff that like I haven't been able to find anywhere, any record store.
Yeah, it's just not physically, you can't put your hands on it. So you go and,
a song or two here and there, I'm like, oh, I found it, I got to buy it here.
Yeah.
But that was only in very recent times and reluctantly so. Through gritted teeth, I was buying those songs.
It's, it's kind of, I don't know. It's disappointing.
We're getting old.
It's crazy.
This is some real like walk up the hill both ways, barefoot in the snow type shit. Like I used to have to do all this to get records. You kids these days.
Yeah. And yet my daughter has a Kindle and I don't have this, but I love being like, she's like, oh dad, there's this book I want. And I say, boom, boom. It's in the Kindle immediately. I don't feel, I feel different. I think that's okay for some reason.
But with music, it's different.
With music, it feels different.
Yeah. I'm with you. I was reluctant on the Kindle train. I was like, but books, you got to handle your books and have them But I was quicker to adapt to the Kindle stuff than I was music.
But she will tell me sometimes. She'll go, no, I want to have that as a book.
No, I do that too.
Yeah.
I do that too. Like with Morrissey's autobiography. Are you kidding me? I got it on hardback, paperback, also Kindle. I'm like, I need this in all formats.
Is there an audiobook for that?
There is, but the actor David Morrissey reads it, not Morrissey himself.
David Morrissey from Walking Dead.
Yes.
What's his name? I can't think of what his name is. What is it?
The governor.
The governor. I was going to say the general.
The general of the...
He's the general, right?
But it's just that... No, I'm like, of course, I want to listen to Morrissey's voice for 4 hours, not somebody else's with the same last name.
That's so funny that they got the guy with the same last name.
Yeah. No relation, right? No relation. Yeah.
You think Morrissey... You think he didn't want to read it?
I think it's just like his way of... It's just a goof. That's his sense of humor. He's just like, hi, guys. Get it? Same last name. I don't know. Maybe he was like, I don't want to read my... No, he's pretty self-involved. I would think he'd want to read his own words for 4 hours.
What's Morrissey's full name?
Stephen Patrick Morrissey.
Stephen Patrick Morrissey. I like that middle name.
Yeah?
We talk so much today, I don't know whose turn it is.
Okay, sorry.
I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
Kyle's keeping track.
And let me know when the last song comes up, because I know when I'm playing last. Okay, after what you just played, I'm going to play kind of a chill song. This is called Memphis, Tennessee. This is off a comp called Tomorrow's a Long Time. This is just like a chill jam. You can kind of play this anywhere, I guess, really. Like 30 seconds in or something.
Help me. To get in touch with my Marie. She's the only one who'd phone me here from Memphis, Tennessee. Her home is on the south side, high up on a ridge, just a half a mile from the Mississippi Bridge.
It's not often that we play music that predates me and you.
Yeah, that's true.
This is we're going to have a triple shot of Elvis, because right now I'm going to play an Elvis song, a song that I do like, and then we'll go back to you. You'll play another Elvis
song. Oh, wow. Okay.
But this song is from 1957.
Okay.
And they actually used to play this song on MTV. It was a clip from a movie. I don't know what the movie is, though. Maybe you know. But this song is called... You're So Square.
Okay.
Baby, I Don't Care.
Yes.
And I love this song. Look, I love the bass. It looks like bass.
You don't like crazy music. You don't like rocking bands. You just want to go to a movie show and sit there holding hands. You're so square. Baby, I don't care. Don't like a hot rod racing, driving late at night. You just want to park where it's nice and dark. You just want to hold me tight. You're so square. Baby, I don't care.
Who doesn't like hot rod racing?
I know.
You like it, right, April?
I love it. It's my favorite. Hot rod racing. Okay, well, that makes me... Okay, since you played, that's from the movie Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play Jailhouse Rock.
All right.
Because that is one of my all-time favorite jams. Also, that movie, legitimately a good movie.
It is a good movie. I'm not against the Jailhouse Rock. Is he in jail in the movie?
He is.
For murder.
Okay, well, here, for murder. He murdered babies.
Oh.
He was a serial baby murderer.
He gets cleared, though, right, at the end, and then has a big fundraising concert.
Wait. Yeah, the concert is to raise funds for his baby murder defense.
Yes, thank you.
It's really
God.
Grim and dark for a 50s movie.
Yeah, but, you know, they pull it all together in the end. It's a fun, they get a big dance sequence.
I do think you would like it. Legitimately, it's a good movie. And
okay.
People who don't like Elvis like the movie. I will say about the song, I think it's a jam, it rules, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you listen to it, though, and also in the dance scene, is clearly about gay dudes. Because there's that lyric where it's like, you're the cutest jailbird I ever did see.
Yeah.
Come do the jailhouse rock with me. He can only be singing that to a dude. There's no co-ed jails.
And the jailhouse rock is actually...
butt stuff. It means butt stuff.
Butt stuff in prison.
No, but right. And so even in the dance sequence in the movie, it's like all dudes dancing.
Right.
So there you go. But this is just a rad song. Drop the needle anywhere.
And the guys that are playing the prisoners in this film, I bet they look really hardcore.
Oh yeah, yeah. They got teardrop tattoos.
They're dangerous, yeah. Dude. At
least they don't have perfectly done hair.
I sure would be delighted with your company. Come on and do the jailhouse rock with me. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody knows how to rock. We'll dance to the jailhouse rock. Rock, rock, rock.
Now, that lyric
such
when he says sad sack sitting on a block of stone,
yeah.
He's talking about his penis.
His penis sad is sad because he can't find another male cellmate to dance with.
Sit right here on my block of stone.
That's right. I will.
You know, dude. See, I do like that. And see, here's what's going to happen. If I start listening to any Elvis Presley music at my house, my wife's going to go, you have a crush on April Richardson.
Oh, my God.
Because
what? Because you're listening to an artist that like zillions of people have listened to.
But for 20 years, I've said, I hate Elvis.
Right, right, right.
I can't do it.
Look.
I can't. Sonny, Red, Murray.
Dude, in a jailhouse rock, and specifically the scene where he's singing You're So Square, is like the apex of human attractiveness. Oh, my God. Does that dude look so good? He's like wearing the sweater. He's singing it out by the pool. Like you've never seen anything hotter.
He's got like he's almost preppy. He's got the collar
preppy
turned up.
Preppy Elvis can get it for eternity. That is like my porn, dude. Preppy Elvis, I cannot deal with. Preppy Elvis and then 68 Comeback Special Elvis. It's like the 2 points in human history where it's like no one will ever be that attractive again. Like, don't even bother.
I'm going to... we have to wrap it up.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'll play one more song.
Oh, okay.
I'll let you play two then.
Yeah, because I know what I want to end on.
Okay, I'll play... And then I'll let you play two in a row. And
I can just play one. Oh, because you wanted me to play my Elvis Costello song that I like.
No, you don't have to do that.
No, I
just say what it is.
Allison. I would totally pick Allison.
Allison's a great song.
Yeah.
Everyone.
It's lovely. Yeah.
But I want you to be able to play some Elvis Presley songs.
I'll just play one. I'm cool with just playing one
more.
Okay.
Then I'll play one and then you play one. I got to figure out which one I want to play. Let's play the one from Get Happy. Let's play that one. And let's play it right now, Kyle.
Some things you never get used to, even though you're feeling like another man. There's nothing that he can do for you to shut me away as you are through. Love was never in an amateur hour.
That's from Get Happy, which has 20 songs on it.
Yeah.
And I like that because he's still kind of singing in that little bit punky voice.
Right, like, ugh. Like,
fidelity. Yeah. You know, that kind of. Almost like he's deaf. Almost like he's Lou Ferrigno. Fidelity.
Right.
And now I'm going to think Allison.
No, that's a jam.
The
that's
angels
totally
want to wear
jam.
My red shoes. What are you going to close out with? I feel bad. Only one more. But
don't
you know what?
Feel bad.
You'll be playing Elvis songs on other shows.
Yeah.
You'll find a way to wedge these in.
Totally. Okay, I'm going to end the song that ends the 68 Comeback Special because when he was recording it, the people that were in charge were like, okay, we want you to end with what, like some fluffy, like whatever. And he's like, it's 68. I can't sing. It aired at Christmas time too, 68. He's like, I got to sing something way more important than this. He's like, civil rights shit's going on, crazy shit's going on. I'm not going to sing like Hound Dog.
Right.
He was like, write me something real. And so that night, the guy, the music director of the thing, went home and wrote If I Can Dream. And that's what I'm going to.
I don't know if I know this one.
It's great. He sings it with a white suit at the end, big lights behind him. It's very poignant. It's great. Just play it from the beginning.
Am I going to cry?
You might. That song.
How much pressure is that on the guys who had to write that?
He wrote it in that night too, literally overnight. Came back and was like, here's your song.
And then everyone had to learn it.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's totally crazy.
I don't feel like we played as much music today as we normally do.
It's my fault.
But it's not, but I feel like this was a good informational show.
Sure.
I think there was good conversation.
I think so too.
I think mostly it was a good show.
It's my fault. I was way chattier than normal.
No, no. It's good to be chatty. And we had to keep up the slack because this guy can't talk at all.
Because this guy.
No.
This guy with his crying baby voice.
So so let's do some quick promotion. April, you're on Twitter at APAPEY.
Yes.
You have the Go Bayside podcast.
I do.
And they can find that where?
GoBayside.tumblr.com. Also, it's on iTunes and stuff.
It's on iTunes. Yeah. And it's highly rated. It's up there on iTunes, right?
I mean, it's pretty great. It's pretty great.
It's popular.
sure.
Kyle, we can find you at Kyle Dotson Funny. Or as you would say it,
at Kyle Dotson Funny.
And we're at Rock Solid Show at Pat_Francis. Also, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Give us a nice review on iTunes. And that's it. Thanks, April, again for being here.
Thank you for letting me talk about Elvis so much.
We'll talk about him again and again. And Kyle, what do you got? You got a play out song of some sort? You don't have a play out song? What would you like to play out with then? I'll let you choose one.
Oh, gee. You can play just the end of If I Can Dream.
Okay, play that
out. Just play the end of it. Wherever you stopped it.
Just pick it up from there, motherfucker.
And get ready to cry, everybody.
That's trouble with pain, but as long as a man has the strength to dream, he can redeem his soul and life. Deep in my heart, there's a trembling question. Sure, that the answer's